Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. The Sojourner Truth team was on the ground in Haiti. Today, we continue our series of coverage. We will bring you the story of the torture and massacres in La Saline, a story reported to be about gang warfare. But as you will hear in today's report, that is far from the reality of what's going on in La Saline. What we witnessed and recorded and are reporting in this exclusive today is an extreme humanitarian and human rights crisis and tragedy, little known to the world. Ironically, the road leading up to La Saline is named Kwa Bosal in Creole. It was the road close to the port where slaves were bought and sold. The word Bosal means newly from Africa, and Kwa is crossroads. We visited La Saline, a part of impoverished Port-au-Prince that has historically been a center of resistance going back to the Haitian Revolution. Today, it is a stronghold of support for La Valas, the political party headed by the popular former president Jean-Bertrand Aristide. The massacres have been the largest in Haiti since the July 23, 1987, Jean Rebel massacre of peasants under the Duvalier dictatorship. Evidence shows that perpetrators of the massacres, like the Tonton Macoute of the Duvalier days, have a cozy relationship and backing from the present Haitian government of Jovenel Moïse. Indeed, the methods used to torture and kill are reminiscent of the brutal Duvalier days. People are hacked to death. They are burned alive. Their bodies left on the street to be eaten by wild pigs and dogs. It was jarring to see, to hear the stories of the victims, and a reminder that this is happening after a 15-year UN occupation of Haiti and under a US-backed regime. The recent mass protests that spread across Haiti were initiated in La Saline and spread across Haiti's capital city and across the entire country. Survivors of the La Saline massacres say that the massacres are a pointed attempt to use torture, killings, and fear to dampen down mass protests, using the attacks on the people of La Saline as an example to protesters who are demanding that the U.S.-backed president of Haiti, whose election was at best questionable, step down. They're also demanding to, quote, overturn the cauldron, end of quote, meaning ending the entire system of corruption and greed. In the lead up to the massacres, the wife of Jovenel Moïse went to La Saline, distributed money widely, and met with a local community leader, residents say, in an attempt to corrupt that leader. The La Saline residents took the money Martine Moïse gave out, but by the end of her visit, it was clear that La Saline residents would not support the Moïse government and that they intended to continue their protests. Her visit, they say, triggered the massacres, which began within days of her visit. The Sojourner Truth team went to La Saline and recorded and videotaped the victims and residents of the massacres telling their story. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari. Former Vice President Joe Biden joined the crowded Democratic presidential contest, declaring the soul of the nation is at stake. In a video posted on Twitter, Biden focused on the 2017 deadly attack by white supremacists on counter-protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia, which left Heather Heyer dead.
And a brave young woman lost her life. And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides?
Biden has yet to outline his positions on issues defining the 2020 Democratic primary, most notably Medicare for all or free college tuition. Former President Obama has not explicitly endorsed Biden's bid, but he took the unusual step of weighing in on the announcement. A spokesperson for Obama said that, quote, President Obama has long said that selecting Joe Biden as his running mate in 2008 was one of the best decisions he ever made. President Trump welcomed Biden to the campaign in a tweet calling him Sleepy Joe. He said, quote, I only hope you have the intelligence long in doubt to wage a successful primary campaign, and added, it will be nasty. You will be dealing with people who truly have some very sick and demented ideas. But if you make it, I will see you at the starting gate. President Trump is vowing he'll fight all congressional subpoenas for current or former members of his administration. Trump said the report by special counsel Robert Mueller should suffice.
And I thought, after 2 years, we'd be finished with it. No, now the House goes and starts subpoenaing. I say it's enough.
The latest development in the battle is at the Justice Department. It has informed the House Oversight Committee it's rejecting a subpoena demanding the appearance of a top official in the Civil Rights Division, Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Gore. Democrats want to question him about the Trump administration decision to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census for the first time in 70 years. The Supreme Court is expected to rule on the issue by the end of June. A former U.S. Army sharpshooter who told authorities he plowed his car at high speed into a group of pedestrians in Sunnyvale in California's Silicon Valley has a history of PTSD. Authorities say the 34-year-old Joel Peoples injured 8 people, including 3 children. They say although Peoples said he intentionally hit the pedestrians, he didn't say why. He's being held on 8 counts of attempted murder. 4 of the victims remain hospitalized with major injuries. His mother, Lilo Peoples, said she couldn't imagine any situation in which her mild-mannered son would deliberately crash into innocent people other than something related to the post-traumatic stress disorder she said he has experienced after serving as an Army sharpshooter in Iraq. An avowed racist who orchestrated one of the most gruesome hate crimes in recent U.S. history was executed in Texas for the dragging death of African-American James Byrd Jr. in 1998. John King, who was white, received a lethal injection for the slaying nearly 21 years ago. He and others chained Byrd to the back of a truck and dragged him for nearly 3 miles before his body was ripped to pieces. King was openly racist. He had offensive tattoos on his body, including one of a black man with a noose around his neck hanging from a tree. One of Byrd's sisters, Clara Taylor, contrasted the manner of King's execution to the death of her brother.
I witnessed the peaceful and dignified execution of John King for the savage, brutal, and inhumane murder of James on June 7, 1998. Really a modern-day lynching.
Measles in the U.S. has climbed to its highest level in 25 years, closing in on 700 cases this year in a resurgence largely attributed to misinformation turning parents against vaccines. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said 695 cases had been reported in 22 states as of Wednesday afternoon. Roughly 3/4 of this year's illnesses have been in New York State, mainly in 2 ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities in Brooklyn and suburban Rockland County. I'm Eileen Alfandari. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
And we are now going to go to hear the victims of and the survivors of the massacres in La Saline, an impoverished area of Port-au-Prince. The Sojourner Truth team was on the ground and recorded and videotaped the victims and residents telling their story.
How many of these kinds of shootings have been happening in this area?
About 8 times.
And have people been killed or wounded in these shootings?
Yes, people have been wounded. People have been wounded, but also people have been killed. But not only they've been killed with the bullet, but also they burned them.
About how many people have been killed and how many wounded?
So it's very difficult, like, to tell. It's difficult to have, like, a clear number because there's so many people who come from all over Haiti to live, like, in this community. So vaguely, I would say, like, she's saying that it will be, like approximately, like, 3,000 people, like, wounded and murdered, like, in these kind of attacks.
Were the people impacted who were killed or injured, were they all men or were they men, women, and children?
There's, like, children, youth, adult. They all are victims of these kind of attacks. So this community, La Saline, has a reputation of, like, revolution. They don't really stand with dictatorship since the Makout under the Duvalier. And still now, children here, youth and adult, have, like, the blood of revolution. So that's why the government doesn't like this community. So what happened is the group, the kind of, like, death squad that was involved in these killings have been living in this community, now in the neighborhood called Nashabo. And they've been involved in all kind of, like, sexual assault, and they've been raping women. And because of this, the people in this community decided that they will kick them away. But they get together with Martine Moïse, who is the actual president's wife, the first lady of Haiti, who helped them, like, to come back after the 6 years to really terrorize the population and kill the people. So one thing that is very important for us, you can see these houses. They were houses that a President Aristide built, and people who are living there right now have to leave their houses and they go on a displaced, like, community because they can't live here. And it's something that we really want you to go and see to understand the situation of these people. Right now, the community La Saline lost, like, everything. Over there, you can see this building without the window. It's a building that used to be a well-known, like, hospital in the neighborhood. Now it's gone. Like, La Saline used to have water access. Now we don't have it anymore. The people in La Saline used to find their own ways, like, to survive. But after the incidents, things got worse. And that's why the people in La Saline are saying that they're not only calling, like, for a legal assistance for what happened, but they're also calling, like, for humanitarian assistance for what happened. Because they can no longer eat, they can no longer, like, go to the hospital, they can no longer send the kids to the school. So this is a humanitarian crisis right there in La Saline, and they need, like, to get the support of the international community.
We have some more questions for the people who are here. And just to remind people watching this show and our audience also on radio who are listening to the audio, that we are standing in the heart of resistance, remembering the great Haitian Revolution that led to the emancipation of all of us, the ending of slavery throughout the Americas. And the people of La Saline, it seems, are still paying a very, very heavy price for that victory, because that's something that's never forgotten, and that this community is a center of resistance. We are seeing some of the neighborhood over in the distance over there. You see some of the shacks that people are living in. It makes no sense. We are an hour and a half away from Miami, and it makes no sense for people who have had the tremendous history that they have had to be living under these conditions. And it seems as though what they're describing is a return of the Tonton Macoute that were around in the Duvalier years that are here again. Again, we can see some of the bullets in the wall that we are looking at right now. It's a very dangerous situation for them. They are taking a chance with even meeting with us and allowing us to film what we are here today. This is Margaret Prescott on the ground in La Saline in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
She's explaining that her children is 24 years old. The DJ who helps with music in the community. So he was inside. The group came, grab him, kill him, and kind of use machete to cut him and burn him. It's so bad. And the worst is it's not only her losing a child, it's many other people in this community losing the children. It's also adult dying, murdered from this kind of attacks. And now she's saying that she's now dealing with hunger because her house has been ransacked. She doesn't have the money to take care of herself. So this is really something terrible she's saying while she knows that there is a president in the country. So she's explaining that it's really sad to know there is an actual president in the country and all this massacre happened in this community that belongs to the people. Many people who live here in La Saline were born here and they also were living here for years. It's a nonsense that now they have to escape from the community that they were born in to go live somewhere else, by the ocean, where there is bad breeze, where there is situations where it's very terrible for people to live. She believes that the president should have had someone sent here, maybe a minister, maybe a director of somewhere to talk to the victims. But instead of that, the president is actually working with the death squad group. They become his entourage. They become his people. And this way, it's the people of La Saline constantly live under the threat, under the fear that there's something that can happen. And she thinks it's too much on the people of La Saline because it's too much for living such situation. It's in November 15, her husband was in the house with her and the group grabbed her husband. And they kind of use the machete to really kill the husband. And she lost her husband while she is pregnant.
When is the baby due?
I don't, she's saying that she doesn't really know exactly, but it must be the next month coming.
Is she able to access health care?
No.
No, she cannot. She's saying she cannot go to the hospital, and she was pointing her feet, which start swelling, which is a good sign of possible eclampsia. So it's to tell that she is not having access to healthcare. And she's explaining also that she's now sleeping by the ocean, where there is bad breeze, not in houses, actually in sort of tent. And she's not having the proper food. She's missing meals. So it's really putting her in a very hard situation, they're saying. Oui. And she lost. No, she said that she's fine now because she knows that it will be international. She said that she lost her son and this as well. And this other gentleman said the same thing. She lost he lost a son and all the event as well. Yeah, it's her son was 28 years old and was burned in this last incident. Yeah, and she lost a husband and un garçon, he lost a son and he lost a son. And there's also many victims from these incidents who are now living next to the water in Wav Jeremy.
Okay, and again, we are coming to you from the community of La Saline, and we have a gathering and an impromptu speak out, really, by family members who have had a husband killed, a son killed, bodies burned, cut up by machetes, a woman who is pregnant who now is living unhoused, basically in a shack down by the water, and with swollen ankles, swollen feet, which is totally unhealthy. And we are sure that there are other mothers to be like her in this community.
Her son was cut up in front of her, and because of this, like, she was like, the trauma was so bad that it's like she had like all this, like,
she broke out from the trauma.
It's like they shoot at him, and then they cut up like his body, and then they burn him.
How old was his son?
32. He was 32. And the people that you see here are the people who are the fearless. They want to come here because they have no fear, but there are people who are like, no more. They don't want to come back in this community. They've seen too much. Most of the people in this community now escape and flee because they fear so much from new attacks. And right now, this gentleman is explaining that he is under threat as much as this lady, because the two of them are the ones who were very involved and reporting like to human rights organizations, and they receiving like cold threat, telling them that they would attack again and they would burn the whole community. He's saying that he would like to see more follow-up from this human rights delegation, because what's going in La Saline right now is something that needs to stop. Because what's going here in La Saline is political. It's really orchestrated by the actual government that pays these guys to perpetrate all these kind of violations as political violations. And now they have all kind of like system to torture people, like the burning of the people. They would just like put, like, set like the person on fire just to send like a powerful message
while
they're alive. So this is something that needs to stop, because it's kind of like really traumatize the whole community, and it's something that needs to stop, because it's being orchestrated by the government. They also asking to free one of the like fellow in this community, which name is like Boujanjan, who used like to really protect this neighborhood. And he was kind of a leader of this community. And Martine Moïse, the wife of the president, came, they explained, and tried like to bribe him so he could discourage like people to uprise like against this government. And as Boujanjan said no, because this community is pro-opposition and doesn't want to support the government. So because of this, like, he was arrested, and while he was arrested, that's what made it possible like for like the other guys who receive all kind of guns from the government to attack the community.
Right, and as we are speaking, I see there are people walking with the names of their loved ones who were killed in November of last year in this community of La Saline. And I should let you know that there are quite a crowd has gathered around us, a number of them children, traumatized by what is going on. But again, for the security of the people here and the danger that they are in, we are only showing the faces of those who feel that they will be able to speak on camera. But you should know that there are a number of community residents here who are agreeing and shaking their heads in agreement as people are giving testimony. And again, we are on the ground in La Saline, and we're going to move on now to another area. We understand that there is a home that still has the skeleton of a person who was killed by the modern-day Tonto Macoute, backed by this government, and that they left the body there, the skeleton there, on purpose to just for people to remember and to see and to show the incredible humanitarian crisis that is happening here. You know, in the United States, in the media, we hear a lot about the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela, for example, a humanitarian crisis that in part is brought on by U.S. sanctions. But the humanitarian crisis happening in Haiti, happening in communities like La Saline, we hear nothing about. We are here and we're trying to catch as much of the story and as much of the testimony. There is, some are rightfully concerned that for us not to stay too long in this community, but it's so important that we really take the risk to be able to bring this story to as many people that we can about this human rights and humanitarian crisis that is happening right now. Indeed, as towards the end of the day, many of the people who are with us right now will flee to go to another area because they know starting around 2 o'clock today, this very afternoon, that they may be under attack yet again.
And this is where, like, they use, like, to, like have, like, some frozen beverages. And when they attack the community, not only the people would escape, but they would get into businesses and they would get like everything and the houses, but also like anything that is like in the areas.
Right. So they would loot the local businesses where people are trying to eke out a living. And watch your step there, Amiro. And we should know that these are not capitalist ventures here. These are just small businesses. Wouldn't even rise to the level of a mom and pop business of people just trying to find a way to survive under some of the harshest conditions in the Americas, indeed some of the harshest conditions in the Western Hemisphere. And the only comparable thing that we could think of are the conditions of people in Honduras, many of whom are now fleeing from Honduras and going to the U.S. border where they are denied. Yet another story of suffering. And there we see the sister who broke out after her son was killed, and there is no medical care for her. There is nowhere she could go to deal with these this rash that are, some of which have become open sores now on her body. And this is the suffering of a mother whose son was killed and burned. Here we see, these are big guns. These are not regular. This isn't a regular gun here. This is not, this cannot be. Yeah, that's a major weapon that shows that. A pregnant woman burned in her home?
Burned, yeah. Pregnant woman.
Where?
In here.
Right here. A pregnant woman who was burned to death in her home. In this home that we are standing in front of right now. If we weren't here and somebody was just telling us about it, just very, very difficult to believe. We are about to enter the home. The smell and some of the bones of this woman are still here. So they are warning us to be careful, and it may be difficult indeed. And there is a skeleton. Oh, this is the skeleton of a woman who was pregnant and burned to death. And here she is, and they are keeping her to hopefully get the word out to the world that something has got to be done. The people in La Saline must not be left alone. They must know that people are with them who care and who could stop these atrocities. What you are seeing today is information that the world has not yet seen. This is the first time that a crew of media, combination of Real News Network and Pacifica Radio, have been here to hear this testimony and to film and see the more, even more bullet shots outside the home of the woman who was pregnant at the time that she was burned. Was she burned alive or was she?
Est-ce que c'est dame Zaki de Mouya? Est-ce que c'est tout en vie?
Burned
alive while she was pregnant.
Burned alive while she was pregnant. The suffering of the people here is difficult to really describe, just the expressions on the faces of the people of grief, but yet determination of knowing what they must do. And you could see on their bodies from the lack of food, from the just the immense suffering that they're going through and the grief for the ones that they have lost, not only in their families, but this seems to be a close-knit community that have had a tradition of resistance, and they are very much feeling the loss, from the young children to the young men who are with us, to the elders who are here. Immense, immense suffering and immense resistance of the people in La Saline. The courage of the people who are here speaking out, you could just well imagine the risk that they are taking now to take us to these places and show us what has happened to them. We're going to take a short station break. When we return, we'll continue to hear from the survivors of the massacres, which, by the way, are ongoing in La Saline, an impoverished section of Port-au-Prince. Haiti, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sojourner Truth. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Our handle also on Twitter and on Instagram is at So True Radio. We are now going to return to our in-depth coverage of the story of the torture and massacres in La Saline. This is Margaret Prescott in another part of Port-au-Prince that's close to La Saline, outside a building that was formerly a marketplace. Indeed, there are many buildings that were marketplaces, and they're now empty because the people from La Saline who have been under attack, they've had to flee to these buildings and live under market stalls on concrete floors.
This used to be a
this is where the people
are. Area. This was supposed to be stands where people, the vendors would put their goods to sell. The market has not been even inaugurated. Now it's turned into a sort of like shack where the people manage to just cover it with a little top or a little sheet, and they live under this kind of like 8 feet by 5 feet.
And people are feeling safer being here than have fled their homes where they're being killed and burnt alive and are living under just incredible conditions in a place that was a former marketplace. There are many children here. There are babies who are here. There are mothers and their children who are here. Just incredible. You see the bins that used to be the market bins. Here's a tent. Somebody managed to set up a tent right here. Here is where the mothers are clearly washing their clothes.
She lost like a son.
Veteina.
Like she lost like a son who was like 20, 21 years old.
And how was he killed?
It's like he was like cut up, the whole body was cut up and was burned, which is a practice that is really the new practice like in this whole community now.
Left over from the days of the Tonton Macoute and the Duvalier days, a similar strategy. Here is a family, a mother with her children. Hello. She's showing us. Look, here's a baby. See the baby here. Oh, how dolly.
Nursing woman, and they lose like husbands, and now they here like trying like to live. She lost the husband, the baby lost the dad. The group take everything in the houses and went sack it. Now she has nothing like to feed the little baby that she's nursing. It's like she's on her own with nothing in this kind of condition in this market area.
She's calling
for justice and compensation because now she is dealing with too much in this condition because of the environment, which is not clean. It's a big epidemic right now where everyone is itching. Rashes are everywhere. So she's calling for justice.
And the children, how are the children doing? Ask her, how are they holding up living in these conditions?
Saying that she has two children, this one just like her dad, and she has a previous one, and she has like to take the baby like with the older dad. She's now on her own. It's all on who is giving something. If no one is giving something, she would be with nothing. So she just like living right now with almost nothing, and the other gentleman. And she's saying that it's all kind of insects and this little cotton board that causes the rashes and the itchy everywhere. And that's like she talks about the different kind of like bed bugs.
What a precious, precious child who deserves everything in the world as other children around the world. Another precious one. Hello.
They cannot go to school. They cannot find enough to eat, so they're really desperate looking for something like to help them. And the gentleman was saying before that when there is this kind of shooting in the community, some kids have like their own way to react to the trauma. Sometimes it's kind of like a crisis just by listening to this kind of like gunshot that even the police in Haiti doesn't carry. So for him, it's like, it depends on the child, like how they would like really react to this. But it's different kind of reaction that are not the best, like from all this kind of shooting.
It's normal, children living in these conditions of war, which is really the conditions they're living under, are traumatized. It's like children in Palestine. I don't know if they've heard about a place called Palestine where they're living under similar conditions to this, and the majority of the children are traumatized.
I try to reach out to them. That's the first time that they can see like an actual international delegation like coming to talk to them.
But we are not connected to this government at all. That's one of the reasons that we're here. We're not connected to this government at all.
He's saying that it would be good like to push the Black Caucus.
The Congressional Black Caucus in the United States. It's a disgrace that they have not been more outspoken about this, and we intend to show them this footage and ask what they intend to do.
So next time that you can make it to La Saline, they will display the different pictures of the people who participated in the massacre, but also the people who were murdered. Explaining that it is the worst situation that she could experience in her life. Because like her house was burned in La Saline, and many other friends like lost their houses there. And now she moves like in this place with just one dress. Has like to be dealing with mosquitoes every night, all kind of insects. And it's only with the good faith of one person having something to eat that she would get something for the day. It's really hard on her, she's saying. She would think of just going back on her home village, but she would not even have like the money to pay for the bus like to go back to their home village. So it's really a huge suffering. And she really feels that it's something that needs to change.
And we will share this story to as many people as we can.
Saying this is really powerful that for the first time there's someone coming to hear the story, to listen to them. And she feels that now there is a sign of hope, just because someone is here to listen what they're going through.
We're up against a lot because the President of the United States stands with the President of this country. So we have a lot of work to do to get them to do anything. Haiti must be free. If Haiti is not free, we are not free anywhere in the world.
She is now with four grandchildren. She has nothing to give to these children. They don't even have the uniforms so they could keep going to school. She really like feels that it's a sad situation here and no father to take care of these children. She only remembers one president who knows the suffering of the poor people. It's President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. And she remember if it were under President Aristide that something like this happened, he would take the time to come and see them and try to see what he could do for them.
Depuis m'vin là, m'bagin moun, m'bagin rele, m'bagin répond. Yo prend tout bagan dans la kaye.
M'en de justice.
Après ça, yo boule kaye là.
She is the lady, who she is the partner of the guy who died, that the first lady will speak to us, not the one with the washes, the first one will speak to us. And she was 5 months pregnant when this happened. It was on November 13, and on the 14th, she had like to leave La Saline to come live here. And she delivered the baby right here.
The baby was delivered
right here. And since, she has nothing to give to the baby. And she cannot take the baby to the hospital. And it's like the cold, like in this area because of the water, which is just right there, make it like really hard on her. And now you can see that she's trying like to keep the baby as warm as possible because like the baby is vomiting, is coughing because of the cold area that this is. So she's calling for justice and reparation.
How old is the baby now?
The baby is 1 month old.
1 month. Just a precious thing. Boy or girl?
Un petit fille ou un petit garçon?
Un petit fille, volant mea. Volant mea.
Yeah, it's a girl. And all the coughing, all the vomiting, she thinks it's related like to the breeze from the water, which is just right there.
Is she breastfeeding?
Ou bal tete, ma koumè?
Yes, she is. That is how the baby has survived. Thank you for sharing your story. We will get it to as many people as possible. Your suffering should never happen. And we hope that the people who will see this will be moved to press the United States government and the Black Caucus in particular to do something.
bay la lò tande nou pran ti moun sa e tout nuit m ap bat pou pinèz pa antre nan tou zorey li paske pinèz envahi
côté n ap de like mosquitoes and insects and a lot of like bed bugs like in here so all night long she's watching so bed bugs would not go into the baby's ears so it's really hard for her to even sleep because she's watching all this because of the condition, the health condition.
Is that why the baby's ears are covered right now?
No, e pou tèt la vomi an, kon ya met ba la lan tèt li. Pou tèt li pa pran fa nan mi.
It's mostly because the baby is vomiting, so she thinks that when she covers like the head like this, she would not be
get
as close to the breeze and this way it might relieve, she might have like a little relief from the coughing and the vomiting.
What is the name of the baby?
Geralda. So Pierre.
Like the dad's name was Gerard. So she hesitated a lot, kind of like to show how much like she can't even remember the name of her daughter until after a couple of seconds where she was like, okay, now I remember her name is Geralda.
Tell her it's okay that my daughter didn't get her name until she was 3 months old.
Yeah.
I couldn't make up my mind.
Mwen mwen pa nou m ba chanje. Tellement gen problèm kon sa. Repense m ap panse, oui, ki fò nou pa vin nan ide mwen, oui.
For her, it's different. It's not that she doesn't have a name yet. It's just that she has so much
on her
mind right now. She cannot even remember the name that she gave like to her daughter.
Yes. Thank you. Merci.
Merci pour partager histoire ça avec nous.
Okay. Hope all goes well. Better. Now you see that we are right by the bay, by the water. So this is very coveted land right here. And part of the reason that areas like La Céline and Cité Soleil right around the water are being treated as they are, as they also want to force people out of here because this is prime land given the location to the water.
She is saying something.
Yeah, let's say that. Sure.
It's your papa.
They killed her father.
It's your papa, it's your grandfather.
They killed her father and grandmother also. She cannot go to school anymore. Her mother don't have money to pay to rent a house, and she have three little children also. She don't have no money, nowhere to go, and they kill her father. And she's sleeping on the wall.
Madame Pinesa mandé nous.
Hmm? Qui s'est parlé before? Qui s'est dit?
Madame Pinesa mandé nous.
She cannot sleep. Bugs bite her every day.
Je ne peux pas manger, papa, moi seulement, maman, je ne peux pas manger.
You don't have nobody to feed her. She's always hungry. You have nobody to feed her. She don't have no money to pay the house. Her mother don't have no money to pay the house. And you have two little children. She lost her father also.
But you can see that her mother is still trying her best to take care of her. We can see by this lovely hair that she has. Did your mama do that?
Est-ce que c'est maman qui peint tête ou est-ce que maman toujours continue à essayer pour un soin?
Maman, moi.
Okay. Not her mother.
Okay.
Somebody else did it for her.
Romero Funes, our astute assistant producer, has just commented that this reminds him of a giant concentration camp. And if this isn't apartheid, I don't know what is. Outrageous. Just outrageous. And this is how U.S. tax dollars are being misused.
You know, as a human rights worker, I'm absolutely appalled. And, you know, I have, as a grandmother and a mother, I'm just infuriated when I see these children that are half the size but twice the age of my children. It's infuriating. Nobody should have to live like this. It's absolutely, you know, we say it's inhumane. Unfortunately, sometimes it's all the way that people are treated. And I think people forget about what's happening here and for various reasons. One reason I think is because it's a black country. And I think, you know, people in the United States and around the world should stop looking at Haiti as a charity case and start looking at it as a sovereign nation that needs to have its own democracy and its own real free elected officials.
This is Margaret Prescott. I'm on the ground in La Saline, a community that has been where there's a humanitarian crisis, where we're standing right in front of bullet holes, where people are being shot and killed, many wounded. Some of them are children. Many of them are women who have been raped and assaulted. And they really want the world to know about what's going on in La Saline. And they also say that the forces behind all of this, even though in some of the mainstream media it's being reported that there are gangs, that these are actual Makut. These are people who have the backing and the support of the present government, and indeed the wife of the present Martine Moise, that she has also helped in some way with these people. So we are going to be, we're here with a human rights delegation, Seth Colony, who is a teacher in the Bay Area, and also with Merck, last name, Judith Merkinson, who is the president of the National Lawyers Guild in the Bay Area. And I'm wondering if Seth and Merck, if you all have any comments in terms of what you have just heard.
Yeah, this is very similar to me to what I was able to experience in Cité Soleil on July 6, 2005. There was a massacre by UN troops in Cité Soleil, where there was bullet holes throughout the neighborhood, very impoverished neighborhood like here, and it was aided and abetted by the coup regime that the U.S. had installed. This is the same thing 14 years later in a different community, this time being carried out by attaches and death squad elements backed by the government, which is in turn installed by the U.S. So I am filled with outrage at what U.S. taxpayer dollars are creating, which is misery for the people here.
And Judith Merkinson.
I think that what we have to see is that this is a humanitarian crisis. This is against international law, that we're being fed fake news every single day about what is happening here and throughout Latin America. And it is our obligation to do something about it and to really look at what is real and what is not real. And if you look around this community, you'll be reminded of other communities around the world, whether it's Syria, Iraq, Philippines, whatever. And the same thing is happening here that is happening there. And we have to actually demand accountability, an end to impunity, and a restoration of democracy.
The children are suffering from all kinds of rashes. We have this little girl whose father was killed and who has said she hasn't had any food to eat, and I don't know when. So this is part of the humanitarian crisis that is happening in this country. People flee here, and you see, it's right by the water. So that means, especially in the evening, they are exposed to the cool breezes coming in from the water, and they don't have the blankets or even the sheets or anything with which to cover themselves. So the children are getting ill. They're suffering from rashes, from bed bugs, and also from hunger. So the humanitarian crisis that led them to flee from their homes in La Saline have brought them to a situation where, as you have said, Romero, reminds you of a large concentration camp and is really such an example of the apartheid happening here in Haiti, but is never named as apartheid. It is named as apartheid by the former president, Jean Jean-Bertrand Aristide. He has made that very, very clear to us. But it's about time that the world understood that this was apartheid, that they have to pay attention to what is happening right here in Haiti, the most impoverished place in the Western Hemisphere. If you look at these children are bright and they have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not poor. They are rich in spirit, but they have been impoverished. And they have been impoverished using the resources of taxpayers in the United States. And I'm hoping that people who see this report and who understand the depth of the suffering of these people will do something about it. Look at the little ones there, just absolutely precious and should have the life and the rights of any child anywhere in the world, including those living right in the heart of the United States, from Malibu to the Silicon Valley to Murray Hill in New York City. They have just as much rights as anyone else.
We are out of time. Today's show produced by me, that's Margaret Prescott, and also special production credit also has to go to our assistant producer, Romero Funes, who also videotaped our visit to La Celine. I'd also like to thank Mr. T. Teddy Robinson, our engineer. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to thepacificaradioarchives.org. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
No chance to